Good morning, everybody. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for the meeting we just had. We thank you for what your son did for us, Father. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made, that we have the opportunity to come to you because of his sacrifice, Father. We just pray as I bring these verses that you would give clarity and that each one will be able to bring something away from this, Father. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, last week, when I guess that we were recognizing the elders down there and had our lunch, Steve came to me and said, "Brother, I don't think I've ever heard you speak." Well, not true, but probably publicly. This is probably one of the last places I like to be is in front of people, because it's not about me, and it tends to be when you put yourself in the spotlight, just never been my forte, so I'm kind of like a fish out of water up here. So if anything does go wrong, you can talk to him afterwards. Okay. But anyhow, so I appreciate your grace and kindness and in this. So a little bit about me, Dennis Borum. I build race engines in NASCAR. I started out as a young boy. I thought I was going to be a professional baseball player. Until I was about 12, I realized that the talent wasn't there. So taking things apart and seeing mechanical things work has always been something that's been fascinating to me. So I think I was probably 13 years old when I drove my first car home. We lived in the Sierras in the mountains of California and got in a little trouble doing that. But ever since then, I've fooled with cars and engines. And while I was in the Navy, Tammy and I got married right after I got in the Navy. The Navy had a slogan then, and I don't know if it's still around. Your branch had it too, but the Navy, it's not just a job, it's an adventure. And that kind of describes my life. In our marriage, and our moving, raising kids, and in my vocation. It's a very tough job building a race engine. There's a lot of disappointments, but when everything goes right, it's really thrilling. But the message this morning and the verse I'm going to read are on perseverance and persistence. And hopefully to clearly share some thoughts and parallels from our daily lives and also our spiritual lives, to how they apply. The scripture passage, if you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And this is a very fitting scripture to me, and it steps on my toes and encourages me to remember to strive for that prize. In the winter of 2006, an engine bearing company in NASCAR called the company I worked for, a promoter, and asked if two engine builders could be part of their engine build contest. And basically, they had a contest every year in NASCAR before the Charlotte race that two teams would go head-to-head against each other in an engine build contest, and it was for speed. And we were invited because Ray Evernham's team, one of the guys on his engine builders had a broken arm. So basically they called us because they didn't have anybody else to enter. So we were added to the list. So I immediately said yes. And then after hanging up the phone, panic set in. Because this competition is in front of a large crowd. I'd never been to it, but I'd seen it on TV. So they sent us a DVD from the year before, and so we could actually see how the process went. I picked my partner at work, my coworker Daryl, and we watched film, we studied it, we put together a plan on how we were gonna run in this competition, And basically the goal of it is to build an engine against another team. You have two engines and they're identically prepared. They're taken apart and you put it together properly with torque fasteners, and it has to run continuously for 1 minute. The prize is to bring home this big trophy that Hendrick Motorsports had. And you get to keep that trophy in your shop for the next year until the next competition. And then it goes on and on and on. And then also the part of the prize was money. So there's $20,000 to be divided between two people, which is incentive to do well. And so we practiced in the evenings. We practiced whenever we had a chance, we would practice. And then I think it was probably 3 or 4 weeks we had to prepare. And so it was May, beginning of May, right before the Charlotte race when they started it. And they had, I think it was 16 teams. And basically, they set it up like brackets, like basketball. There was 8 brackets. So we had 16 teams show up, and you qualified against the clock for 8 spots. So you knew right first round they were knocking 8 out, so half of them were going home. So we show up for the competition, and we're in blue jeans and T-shirts. And all the other teams, they have their uniforms with their sponsors on and everything. And we do our thing. We do the competition. Well, we ended up fast time. So not only did we make it to the second round, but we were in the top seed. So now we got to go against the slowest one. So round two, the next day, we went back and won round two, bettered our time from the day before. So we're down to 4 teams. And then the third day, it was a little harder the second day, but it was still, that team was a little better. We beat them by a good bit. So the third day would be this semifinals. So we're down to 4 teams. We win again. So now we're to the finals. And then these other rounds, there weren't many people there. It was just the NASCAR school in Mooresville. There was probably half of what's here as far as people. You had a few media people, but the last day was when everybody showed up. You had TV cameras, lights, the whole deal. They mic you up before the event, and the nerves were a little high because I'm pretty amped up as it is, you know. So a few of the production crews that come by the shop and did articles. One magazine did an article and called us, they dubbed on their title of the article David and Goliath, because we were going against Hendrick Motorsports. And nobody really knew who Dennis Borum and Daryl Hoffman were. So we get to the finals, I think it's middle of the week or something at night. It was a night deal. And we get going as competition. And when you're putting your engine together, your focus is exactly on what you're doing. The crowd becomes almost invisible, whatever is around you. You can actually hear, to me, I can hear a pin drop when it's going. So we always knew from our previous 3 rounds, we could kind of judge where we were as we were going. When we had pistons in, the first time we shoved the piston in the engine, we knew when they shoved the piston in the engine. So you kind of knew, I mean, your procedures might be different, but you could kind of tell where you were at. Well, this final round, if we shoved a piston in, they shoved one in. When we dropped our pan on, their pan was on. And I think between the two of us, we thought, wow, this is a race. This is going to be tough. Well, as we get closer to being finished, the goal is to run your engine. You have to run it for 1 continuous minute. So what you do is you want to fire your engine as soon as possible. So as soon as you get basically your plug wires and ignition on or your fuel system on, you leave as many bolts as you can loose so that you've got 60 seconds to tighten those while it's running. You don't want to have anything loose when you're done, because there's big penalties for loose fasteners. So you try to give yourself about a 10-second window. So you try to, when you practice, you try to basically leave everything you can loose that you can tighten in 50 seconds. Well, so as soon as we had the opportunity, we lit that thing off. And as soon as we lit our engine off and it's running, and it's noisy, it's in your big auditorium, it's a race engine, they lit their engine off. So it was like, wow, this is neck and neck. They were right behind us. Well, our engine dies. Yeah, it backfired, died. Immediately start it back up, hold the throttle open, continue on. But at that point, we knew that if they didn't have penalties, they would be the winner. And that's what happened. They won the event. So we were discouraged because we had worked hard at it, but we did learn from it. We learned that we needed to practice more. We needed to stay focused, and we needed to check our equipment the next year because we'd found out the carburetor from the night before had a burnt or a blown power valve in it. So it was kind of our fault. Well, the next 3 years, 2007, 2008, and 2009, we won. So 3 years in a row, we took the big trophy home. And in 2010, in the winter of 2010, we got an email from Moloch Levite, the company, saying they had changed the rules that if you had won the competition 3 years in a row, you had to set out the fourth year. So we were benched. You know, so that was our disappointment. And that was, for me, going back to 2006, after the competition, the first one we lost, 8 weeks later, and you all, most of you all know, 8 weeks later I was in the hospital getting bypass surgery. So I still look back and said, if I could have just got that surgery sooner, you know, but it would have been good. But why do I tell you this story? To remind you, the world's prizes, as good as they seem, are temporary. But our spiritual prize is eternal. It is the honor of sharing the good news of Christ and his sacrifice with the world. And we must put on our A game and give it our all. So, to close, I'd like to leave you with some encouragement. Run for that prize. Give it your all. Don't tire of doing good. Never give up. Be kind to everyone, even those that don't deserve it. Remember, you represent Christ. You are his ambassador. And lastly, endure the suffering as a soldier and don't get all worked up with worldly affairs. I'm guilty of this. Because all the things that are going on right now are going to pass away. The only thing that matters is Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time, Father. We just thank you for the body here, and we just thank you for your gift to us, Father. We pray that we would practice this in our daily lives, Father. That we would not strive so much on our personal things that make us happy, Father, but that it would make us happy to share the gospel with others, Father. That we would be the light. That we would be encouraged, that we would encourage each other in all that we do, and Father, and just look at each day as a new day, Father, to do good, Father, to love others, Father, to show them what you did for us, Father. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.